I have copies here of the OU Afrosh Haschala system, which I want to discuss today. So if you don't already have, please take a copy. Okay, we are in Shichav Dalet up to Sifches. It's a simin which I remarked last week. The sifim we had are not very nagei lahalacha. We talked about tziruf of different types of wheat. This week we learn Sifches and Tes, and they are very nagei lahalacha. They do come up, and in ways that we are going to have problems with halacha lemaisa. So we're going to learn Sifches. I'll discuss the issues and the fact that there are at least a few problems that I don't know how to deal with. Now, anybody who's learned Gemara has bumped into the idea that when you separate Truma, Emafrishin, you don't separate from Gerua on Yafeh, you don't separate from Min Al Shein Aminai, you also don't separate on the produce of one year for the produce of another year. So that if someone has wine or oil or wheat, whatever it may be, and he has from one year and from a different year, so you can't separate truma from produce of year one onto produce of year two. As I mentioned last week, this is not only from a year with his maisa sheni to a year with his maisa ani. This is even from both years of the same dinim. They're both maisa sheni years, but it's gezeres hakasuv mimenu that you separate only from the thing itself and not from one year on to another. Now, in Sifches, we're going to learn how this applies to challah, which obviously, it should be obvious, can create potential problems. So let's learn the halacha, and then we'll talk about the issues. Kav shel tfuah chadasha, v'kav shel yishana, einon mitztarfin. If you have a kav, now 5/4 of a kav is chayiv in challah. So here we're talking about 4/4, so one kav. So you have less than the shear of one year, less than the share of another, ain't a mitzarif, and it's not mitzarif. Ha'yakav shel yashan mitzadzev, v'kad yashan mitzadzev, v'chadish be'emtza mitzarif. We had the cases, we have three doughs. The middle dough is mitzarif, the outer dough. So what did ibcha, chadish be'emtza, yashan be'emtza? And that doesn't come up too often. But the first did. So what do we have here? You have flour, a bag of flour, less than the share of last year's flour, and another bag of flour from this year's flour. And the case here is that you're making a single dough from both. So the Shulchan Aruch says it's not mitztarif to this year. It doesn't combine to this year. That's what it says here in Shulchan Aruch. Now, before we go any further, this means that when you have flour in your house, and all right, if you have a 5-pound bag, so I guess we're assuming that all 5 pounds are from one year. Now we'll have to see if that's true, which we'll see soon. If that 5-pound bag is a mixture, we may create a problem. At least in making a bracha, and making a bracha on it. But first, let's talk about where you have, let's say, less than 5 pounds of one year, less than 5 pounds of another year. It's not mitzdarif. So I have to tell you the Yerushalmi, which is quoted here in the Shach. And because it's going to come up, it'll come up soon. Yushami Yesakasha. We learned last week that Kusmin and Chitim are mitzdarif, even though they're two minim, since they're similar to each other, so they're mitzdarif. So I don't understand. Kusmin and Chitim are two minim. If you make one dough, it's mitzdarif because they're similar. So last year's flour and this year's flour are not similar. They don't look identical. Arisei Secha means if the dough looks similar, it's mitzdarif. So isn't that similar? The Yerushalmi asks, why is that not mitzdarif? But Kusman and Chitim are tuminim. Betzim, they should be potter. Even the same year. But they're tuminim.
I mean,
the Morgan
Miller law, I mean, how would...
But the Yerushalmi learns it from Harisai Seichem that if the Isais take this too, if the Isais look similar, that they're mitzvah.
From the drashas, but the drashas
are six. So the Yerushalmi, which again is quoted in the Shach, says Shani Hasam da kol yaidim de beiz minim heim leshayach lemiti. Over there, everyone knows one is kusmin and one is chitim. No one's going to think for a different case to separate kusmin and chitim. But if you're going to separate from one year on the other, there's a gzeira derabanan. People are going to think if you mix the dough, it's mistarif. Oh, then if you have separate doughs from 2 years, you can separate from one on the other. So Chazal made a gzeira derabanan that it's not mitzdarif. Chazal made a gzeira derabanan that it's not mitzdarif. Shonazu and Shonazu. So the Shach says, like, it's strange. Minat Torah means it would be mitzdarif. Midrabanan, it's not mitzdarif. So the Yerushalmi says, you have to separate memokem acher on this dough. You do have to separate, just not from this dough on itself, from somewhere else on this dough. Now, if you read the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to say that. And we're going to have to see, we're going to talk about this soon, how that works. If you look, the Shach is long, the Taz, Ches is short. Eina mitztarfin, Zeu midrabanan mitam gezeira. He brings a Yerushalmi bekitzer. So the Rabban Shem Yafish Mazal Zeh, Kim Shemim Min Acher. It's a gzeira derabanan. Therefore, before Bebeis Yosef on the other side, Shetzarek Lafish Alei Mitzar Acher. The Minatayre Em Chayavin. So here we have a most complicated case. If you in your house have flour from last year's crop and flour from this year's crop, and you're making a single dough out of the mixture, so you have to separate challah, and you're not allowed to separate challah. It's chayiv and challah, it's tevel min ha-Torah. Midrabanan, you can't separate from that on itself. And therefore, you're stuck. You have to make another dough of all last year's, and another dough of all this year's, and separate on this. It's a very, the whole thing is very difficult.
The moral of the story is take one big bag and do it at one time.
So Mark has a moral of a story, but we're not done. You're right. Well, let's wait. Again, this is quite complicated, right? You have flour. How do you know? We'll talk about how you know. But let's say you know. What? So you touch it, or you put it under one keli? You put a towel over both. No, you're making the dough today. But the flour is from last year. To separate l'chatzila, you still have to combine them. You're right. You have to touch them or put them in one keli. We'll learn later. But the eved a cheder is mitzdarif. But what comes out here is that we have a major confusion. If we're going to put ourselves in a situation where we have flour from last year, flour from this year, we're making separate doughs. Now, if the dough, and we're making a dough from the mixture, if there's a shear of each, there's no problem. The problem is where there's less than a shear of each, and you have to come on to Tziruf, so here you're stuck. Minatayra, it's mitzdarif, you have to separate. Midrabanan, you're not allowed to. Gzeira, people are going to think you can separate from one year on the other. And therefore, we're in a quandary. According to Shach and Taz, you got the Beis Yosef they're quoting. I don't know why it's not clear in the Shulchan Aruch. That you have to take other doughs, and it's just not practical. You're stuck. You can't just be machmer and take, because midrabanan you're not allowed to take from this on itself. So, as Mark would say, the moral of the story is don't get yourself stuck in such a situation, and Shalom HaYisrael, and then you'll be in good shape. Now let's talk about the practical ramifications. Let's talk about the practical ramifications and why.
If you're
makpid
on
Chodesh and Yashan, then you hopefully you know. Yeah. If you're makpid on Chodesh and Yashan, then you know it's last year's crap. It's not this year's crap. But you only know until Pesach. It's not a problem until Pesach.
Right.
There's no mixtures. All right. Let me tell you first of all the facts the way I understand them. What? So let's talk about the physical facts, the way I understand them, and not an expert, I'm just repeating what I heard from people in the kashrus field, and they also make mistakes sometimes. So I'm going to repeat the way I understand. As we mentioned often, there's a winter crop and a summer crop of flour, of wheat, in the United States. In the United States, wheat is grown in just about every state. I don't know if Rhode Island has enough land for wheat, but the other states, wheat is grown in the south, it's grown in the north, it's grown all over the country. I think in virtually all of the 48 states, someplace they grow wheat. Wheat is grown all over. One of the remarkable things about wheat is that it can grow in almost any climate. It can grow in along the equator, and it could grow in cold climates. It grows almost everywhere. Now, they have a winter crop and a summer crop. We'll have a different opportunity. We'll talk about the difference in the wheat that grows, in the gluten in it. There's a difference in what grows. But the physical facts, the numbers are the following. They plant winter wheat in around Sukkot time, and it grows until the weather turns cold. Until the weather. Now, it depends. In Texas, the weather doesn't turn too cold. In New York, the weather turns cold around December time. What happens with winter wheat in places where it gets cold is they grow, they plant in a Sukkot, it grows to a stalk pretty quickly, it matures, and then it's interesting, the wheat goes into hibernation when it gets cold. The plant doesn't die, the flowers die when it gets cold. You have roses, they're going to die. That's not what happens with wheat. The wheat goes into a sort of a hibernation state. And until it warms up again, the grains stand. The grains, to the degree they're grown, they stand. And they sort of hibernate. And then when it warms up, they continue growing. Where they left off, obviously this affects the gluten of the starchiness of the flour. Now, then it finishes growing. The winter crop is generally harvested Pesach time. That's why most years, it depends on Pesach is, many years, there's no chadash issue with the crop, because the crop has already grown, this gadol shlish, before Pesach. It's harvested Pesach time, so there isn't too much of an issue, and things work out. It depends what you need it for. There are numerous types of flour. Different types of flour. Some are used for spaghetti type of foods that are not stretchy, and some are used for stretchy things like a kokosh cake, and some are used for cookies. Most bakeries, I think, have three general types of flour. The types that they use for cookie doughs, for bread doughs, and for crackers or kichel, things that don't stretch as they grow. Depends on how starchy, how glutinous it is. Now, what's negeya to us is not the different types. We'll get to that later. But right now, what's negeya is that the winter crop is harvested around Pesach. The summer crop, which is first planted after it warms up, is usually harvested in the early summer. In the beginning of July, around then, it's harvested. And those, of course, have the bigger problem for those on Makdan HaChadosh, on Yashan, they have the problem. What's negeya hilchaskala is that the winter crop comes to market around Pesach time, and the summer crop comes to the market in July and August. I mentioned to you in the past that there's a waiting period from when it grows till they actually mill it. There's something that they call sweating the grain. I don't know exactly what they do. My understanding is they draw out the moisture more rapidly than in the old days. They did it the old-fashioned way. They put it in the sun, and the sun did it. They have something called sweating the grain. And lemaisa, they're on winter crop wheat. There's an issue of the new crop coming to market probably in June or July. And in the summer crop, in August or September, the crop comes. I'm talking about the milled flour. The bakeries get it from the mill around that time. Generally, that means that between July and September, October, there could be new new flour in the market. There could be old flour. Now, from what I've seen from the Heksher organizations, which they don't talk about the issue that I'm talking about now. I talk about what I'll talk about in a few minutes. The assumption there is that sometimes you get old and sometimes you get new, and it's across the board. So they don't discuss the question of when you buy a bag of Hecker's flour or some Hamish or Brand of flour, that maybe in that bag there's a mixture of 2 years' crop. Now, if there would be a possibility when you buy flour during this time of the year, what you're buying now was put into bags in September, let's say, you're buying in October. If you buy a 5 pound bag and it's got from last year and from this year, it would seem that you have an issue. It would seem that you have an issue. Now, if you're in a bakery, you're making 100 pound doughs. So what's the problem? You have a shir challah of one or the other. You know, even if it's 50-50, you still have a shir challah. But if you're using a 5 pound bag, that's a mixture, is a potential problem. And that potential could, it's a suffix, but it could create a problem in the Afrasha scholar. Do they keep it separate? So I have here a copy of the American Association of Cereal Chemists. I don't know exactly. It looks, what they print looks like a regular journal, a professional journal. It's what?
Cereal with a C.
Cereal with a C, yeah. Cereal. Not like cereal killer, like. And the title here is a study on the changes in milling properties of newly harvested hard wheat during storage, which is they talk about whether the product is better if they store it longer before they mill it or they don't store it. That has to do with the industry. What they get to me is the beginning. So I want to read the part that's going to get to us. Millers incorporate the newly harvested wheat into the mill mix in several ways. Some millers store the wheat for 2 to 3 months before it's used. Others incorporate it immediately, which means this is what the study is about. Is it better to wait or is it better to use it immediately? But he says it is accepted in the industry that 5 to 15% new wheat may be added to the old wheat mix. Gradually increasing the proportion of the new wheat in the blend reduces major changes in flour milling. What they're saying is that there's some places that Peshitta, they store it for a couple of months. There's some places that mix it in right away. It is accepted in the industry that 5 to 15% new wheat may be added to the old meat mix, which means that 10%, let's say, on the average in this mix, is an accepted amount to have as a mixture in a bag of flour.
It sounds like what they can do with non-food.
I'm not following.
That's why the FDA said that they did non-food up to a certain
point. Yeah, but he's not talking about non-food. He's talking about flour and flour. Okay, here he's talking about flour and flour. That you mix it, whatever the Hesbury, whatever the explanation is, the acceptance is that there's a 10%, 5 to 15% mixture. Now, I don't know that it's so much of a problem, because if you're doing 5 pounds of wheat, 5 pounds of flour, you're afraid that 10% of it is from the new year, you're still left with 4.5 pounds, which in all likelihood, you can make a bracha on 4.5 pounds. If it's a suffix, you certainly can make a bracha on 4.5 pounds, so it's not that much of a problem. But they write that it's 5 to 15% new wheat may be added to the old meat mix, gradually increasing the proportion of the new wheat in the blend, that they gradually increase it as time goes on. Now this makes me very nervous. If my wife is going to take a 5 pound bag of flour and 20% or 30% is from 1 year and 70 or 80% is from a different year, so we have the problem of this sif of kav shel tefuah. So how are you making a bracha? It's 1 year on the other. Use 10 pounds, they do it all the challah. You know, I don't like to throw out challah. So I'm busy, the whole suit, I don't eat anything else, I just eat challah, it shouldn't get thrown out. You know, okay, so here, you can make smaller batches. Here, let me finish. In the Minchas Yitzchak, in Chelek Ches, Simi Kuv Zayin, he deals with the issue And he says, that this sif of separating mechadash ala yashan is only when you mix it as dough. If you mix kemach be kemach, if you mix it as flour, he says, then you go according to the rive, and you can separate with a bracha, there's no issue. He resolves this problem. It's based on a nesivus in Derech HaChaim, who says certainly that if you mix flax, if you mix flour and flour, that this sif does not apply. The issue here doesn't apply, because the Shulchan Aruch is only talking about when you're mixing doughs. Now it doesn't say that in the Shulchan Aruch. It says kav shel tavua chadasha, the kav shel yeshana eidem mitzdarfin. Nevertheless, that's what he says, and we'll see in the Siftes a source for it. And this is his... Now, certainly when it's a suffix, like by us, when we have a bag of flour, it's a suffix. When you have sveikis, it's done without sveikis, there's what to rely on. But certainly when you have sveikis, you have what to rely on. And that's the way... It's a Derech HaChaim. It's not the Michas Yitzchak Kiddush. And therefore, issue number one of this sif is resolved, and we have what to rely on. We don't have to worry about it. And again, we learn Siftes. Hopefully, still today, we'll see a source for this idea. Now, issue number two.
I remember years ago the tremendous wood surplus every year.
Yeah, during the Russian wheat embargo, during the time there was an embargo against Russian wheat, there was a tremendous surplus. They were dumping wheat in the ocean. The tremendous surplus of wheat, and there was no new crop of wheat. It was always the old crop, to the degree that Chadash and Yashan was not much of an issue. And there was a period of time where, without Chadash and Yashan, over 95% of the wheat on the market was Chadash, was old, was quite old. Wheat stays well. It was not an issue. Wheat, if it's stored properly, can last forever as long as it's dry, and there was not much of an issue. That was in Afghanistan. When was that? In the late 70s, in the early 80s. What?
Before Afghanistan.
No, when the Russians were in Afghanistan, Carter made an embargo. That's what I remember. You're older than me. You remember earlier. But there was a wheat embargo against Russia, which of course did a lot of damage to the American economy. But okay, this is issue number one. Let's go to issue number two. I want to move on what's much more nageya, and that has to do with these sheets I gave out. If you don't have one, we'll pass them around. The OU Afrosha's Kala system. Very interesting idea. Now, before we started...
Oh, boy.
What?
If you have a 5-pound bag of flour, there's
two more. I just explain again. Issue number one is if you have a mixture. I've told you it's not a problem because when you mix flour and flour, we have the nesivus to rely on that it's not an issue. I want to come back to the nesivus and siftes because it's based on siftes. Now, what?
If
you're mixing bags. Mixing yeah. If you mix it flour, there's no issue. That's what he says. Oh, no. For Yashar Chadash, that's a separate issue. Yeah, I'm not talking Chadash and Yashar. I'm talking about... we'll learn Hilchos Chadash at some point. The... you buy only with Asher anyway, if you're back. But you buy okay, let me tell you how bakeries separate challah. There's going to be a certain change shortly because of... because of the preponderance of closed circuit cameras, but let's just talk about traditionally the three types of hechsherim that give hechsherim on a fresh scholar. They're all good. I'm not saying anybody's no good. I just tell you the facts as they are on the ground. The way hechsherim, I mentioned in the past, yaitza v'nichtas doesn't help a fresh scholar. You can't walk. You can walk in and catch someone with treif ingredients. You can't walk in and catch somebody not separating challah. So the regular Hechsher system doesn't really work for Hafrosha scholars. So there are three systems that exist. One, which is really can only be done by small local Hechsherim, and Tehillah does it this way, and some other Asherim do it this way, is that every time a dough is made, you have to have a full person in the bakery to separate challah. You want to have a hechsher from us, you have to have a firm person there, and the firm person separates challah every time. And if you have a firm person, he's neman on hafrashas challah. What we do is we have a log. Now, I don't say we only have a kilo. What a lot of the places do is they have a log. And every time a dough is made, it's logged in with the time. When challah is separated, it's checked off. And you can walk in and see if there's a dough, and the last time challah was signed off. So to be chayshish, they're going to sign it off and not bother taking the challah. We're not really chayshish. So this is the first system. The way it is done, a guy doesn't do it. A frum a yid must be there. System number one. The best system is you have a mashgiach there, or a frum owner there. Somebody is going to separate challah. Shalom al Yisrael. There's no problem. Now you can do that if you're giving a hechsher on a bakery in Flatbush, so you can tell them. If you're giving a hechsher on a plant in Arkansas, so you know it's just not practical to have a mashgiach there all the time. You're gonna have to pay him a ton of money to be there 5 days a week, 40 hours a day. In play, there's no minyanim. Who are you going to get to go? System number two. I mentioned to you before. The Sachtus has this system. It's a controversial system, but it's a system that some do. They call it the dough ball system, just for give it a catchy name. What they really do is they have goyim there. They have all goyim there, or nemanim, but every time they make a dough, they take a ball of dough and they put it aside. Take a ball of dough, put it aside. Later, during the day, the mashgiach steps in, and he separates challah from that ball of dough. For every let's say overnight, they make 12 doughs. So in the morning they come, they find 12 balls of dough, separate, and they separate challah from each one, from all 12 together, however they hold, you have to separate. And then they separate challah. A guy can separate challah, even though not from you can separate challah. But from a yid can separate challah, and in Mela, the challah separated. What's controversial about this is that you're trusting Goyim to leave over a ball of dough from each of the doughs, and it can wait.
It will be a week.
No, it's going to spoil. It can't spoil. If they put it in the refrigerator, they can do it. What? So it's mina mukif. So they no. So here there's a chsarin. It's not mina mukif. The chetzol has to be mina mukif. Either the saimach on cheder echad, which you can learn later, or they're makel on this din. The hechsher is a good hechsher. The kashrus is good. They tell the owner have a premier. It's too expensive. Do it this way. Well, now, this is the answer I mentioned in the past. Why the neighborhood like Flatbush, the Sachtus, I think has 5 or 6 hechsherim. They're all bakeries.
Yeah.
They have no hechsherim in Flatbush on any other institution. Only on bakeries because they have a kula, and it's hard to blame the bakery owner. You know, like this, you have to pay a frump guy to stay up overnight. Most of the bakeries make those overnight. You get to Sachtus, so they happen to have a number of kulas in bakeries, and this is one of them. And that's why it's a popular hechsher for bakeries, and this is the way they do it. There's a tshuva that was written by Rav Yecheskel Roth, who years ago they called him the Satma Dayan. He was a Dayan for Sachtus. It's a tshuva in his sefer, also written probably 40 years ago, where he explains that he holds that this is acceptable. The lumdis learn it. I'm not, no editorial comment. This is a fact. Some have a from yid, some have this doble method. Now, the OU, which doesn't go for the dough ball method, they don't agree with that system. So they devised another system, which is sort of a remote control system for Afrasha Skala. And I'll explain it to you, explain how it works, and then once they get to this SIF will become obvious, but let's go the Seder. The way the OU does this, and I think this is Rebelsky's Hatzah, it's an ingenious way of doing it. He said what they do is they get a box of matzah. It doesn't have to be matzah crackers, anything that stays. They go and they get a box of, they go to the matzah bakeries, they get a box of matzah that's tevel, that no challah was separated from it. It's chayiv a challah. Kayim and Chala is made from 5 pounds of dough, but it's tevel. It still needs Chala to be separated. Now, I think you all know that if I have one dough that's tevel, another dough that's tevel, and I combine them, I can separate on the whole thing. I can separate the whole thing. Even in Chutz La'aretz, you don't need Minah Mukif. Perhaps, we'll have to talk about this, perhaps even if you don't connect them, you don't combine them. Maybe, we'll talk about it.
But that's the same here.
So what they do is, we'll get to that, we'll talk at the end. What the OU does is this, they go into the plant, and they take a box of matzahs. Now, a pound, how many grams are there in a pound? Anybody know?
20 to 30.
No,
grams?
No. Grams, 480 grams in a pound. Okay, so let's say 480 grams in a pound. Why don't you take a machine and go like this and you can tell me
this.
16
boxes in a
pound. Okay, so let's say 480 grams. What they do is they take the box of matzahs and they put it next to the mixer where the doughs are made. I mean, I don't know exactly how they do it. I imagine they make some pouch on the back and they stick in the box of matzahs. The box has to be opened. You'll see why soon. And what they do is a remote control of Rosh Hashanah. What they do, and I'll explain it in stages. What they do is there's a mashgiach in the OU office in New York, or he happens to be sitting and learning in Torah Vadas, wherever he is. So he says, oh, 6 o'clock, you know, time to do our first chala. So he gets up and he says that, and he has to be a shliach. They have to make him a shliach. Don't have to make him a shliach to our first chala, which they do before it. He says, 1 gram of matzah in this box. He has to designate. So he starts by saying, the matzah closest to the machine on the top right corner, that gram of matzah is now challah on the whole dough that's in the machine. And if the dough wasn't made yet, as soon as they make the dough, at that point, he declares it should be challah. It should be challah. And any dough they're going to make any time today, as soon as they make the dough, the gram next to the first gram should be challah on that. And then they make dough again. The gram next to that should be challah with that. And so on. Now, in theory, you could declare it once a year for the whole year. But that seems to be too much of a harama, agave harama. So, wait a minute. So, therefore, they do it this way. Now, there are a couple of questions and answers. I just want to explain what they do. Look at your sheets. Now, the OU does have a booklet, OU manual for the baking industry. I don't know why in a manual like this it has to say permission to reproduce any part, whether for personal or social use, must be obtained in writing from the publisher. Like, I don't know why I couldn't make a copy of this, but this, fortunately, is from the OU Daf HaKashya, from the OU, and it has the nusach, which the OU representative says. If we read it, the 1, 2, 3, 4, you'll understand right away. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? Let's read it. If you have questions, a lot of questions are answered as you keep on reading. Okay? Number one. Open boxes of matzah. Precise quantity is determined according to the number of lisha at the plant. Okay? Which are tevel l'chala, should be placed in the room where the mixing is done. Now, I told you in the past that cheder echad, some hold are called minamukif, which we'll learn in later. It may be covered, but unsealed, and should preferably be touching the mixing machine. Written and oral authorization to the OU should be given by the Jewish owner of the company to separate challah on their behalf at all times. Reauthorization should be made from time to time. This is shlichus. The owner makes a shliach, the OU representative, a shliach, to separate challah for him. So far, so good.
What is touching the machine?
When we finish, we'll talk about it. Let's read everything. Most of your questions will be answered as we go on. Number three. Initially, when the container of matzah is placed in the plant, the first time it's put, the mashkiach should hold the box of matzahs in his hand with the front or back of the box facing him. If you're going to hold it sideways, then there's no matzah closest to him. So he holds it in a way that there's a matzah closest to him. And this is, when italics is what he declares. He declares. The first time he does it, he declares. 1/5 of a gram. Oh. Other places do a whole gram. They do 1/5 of a gram of matzah in a square shape from the first matzah in the box in the upper right hand corner of the matzah facing me should become challah on behalf of the next lisha that takes place for Belila Ava. I'll explain Belila Ava in a minute. At the time when the lisha takes place, now I have to explain for the next. Okay, those Belila Ava is a challah dough, a kokosh dough, a cookie dough. Belila Ava means a thick mixture. A dough that you can pick up is called Belila Ava. It's chayim challah from the time that you make the dough. Belila Raka is a soft mixture, is a liquid batter, like pancakes, cupcakes, sponge cakes. These are things that are a liquid. We're going to learn later, it's a safek if these things are chayim challah. And as a matter of fact, most places can they're potter from challah at the time that they're a liquid. However, when you bake a sponge cake, it doesn't stay liquid. Eventually, it becomes solid. At some point in the baking, it's no longer liquid dough. It's a solid dough. During the baking process, it becomes chayiv and challah. We don't separate challah. Most of the world, there are some Asherim that do. Most of the world is naig that not to separate ablila racha. After it's baked, it becomes chayiv. Now, in many bakeries, after it's baked, it's no longer 5 pounds of flour in an individual cake. So it may be potter, maybe chayiv, depending on the dinim of tziruf, which you're going to get to. But let's say you're baking a whole sheet of sponge cake, and let's say it has 5 pounds of flour, so it becomes, or even 3 pounds of challah, it becomes chayiv. That you separate challah after the baking. Usually cut off the edges, and they separate that as challah on the sponge cake. So here, when you're doing it remote control, this is what you do. You say, if it's Belila Ava, if it comes challah at the time when the lisha takes place. Okay, we're on the fifth line of the declaration. Or, on behalf of the next baking for Belila Raka, when that baking is completed, whichever comes first. So, when the baking is completed, at that point, I'm not sure whichever comes first is, but... whichever comes first is first, good. And 1/5 of a gram of matzah uniformly distributed around the part of the matzah already designated as challah becomes challah on the behalf of each succeeding lisha or baking at the time of the next such lisha or baking as above. So this is what he says when he's in the plant, when he does it the first time. Every morning thereafter, someone at the office, in the OU office, someone gets up and says, quote, each time a lisha will be made at plant name, at plant location, until the next time the nusach is said, then, from the boxes of matzah in the mixing room set aside by Prashal Skala, 1/5 of a gram of that matzah universally distributed around the matzah already designated partially as Skala, shall become challah on behalf of those lishas which are blila ava at the time when the lisha takes place, and on behalf of the items baked from a blila raka when the baking is completed. Okay? Now, if the matzah used until now is all used up for first challah purposes, then the next matzah behind it should become challah in the same fashion. Namely, first 1/5 of a gram in the square shape of the matzah's upright hand corner, directly behind the first area designated as challah in the matzah, till now should become challah, etc. Okay? So here, this is a system which should work. And I just want to see the nusach.
Each mixing machine needs one of these boxes?
It's a good question. I'm not sure how they do it.
It has to be natural, because you're talking about doing a Belila Ava and Belila Raka at the same time. It's a different machine.
Okay. It's funny. I didn't ask him.
Is this based on an Acheron?
I don't know. I think this is a new idea which should work. Okay, it's funny. I've seen in a previous nusach that it's that they separated a gram instead of 1/5 of a gram. So I don't know why they went to 1/5 of a gram. But okay, enough can be. That's 5 times as long. Yeah. Okay. Now. How they, well, they assume they that the item of nichnas, they make sure that
they have to go and pick it up.
At the end, they have to pick it up? Yeah, at the end, they pick it up.
You see from over here that like it takes from something which is baked on something which is not baked.
Right. But the evidence certainly is good.
Awesome.
All right, so there's some questions on this, some questions which they themselves answer.
We're assuming it's all wheat every day.
So there is, I think, one of the footnotes says, not in this and the other, that if it's two different minim, you have to have two different minim, you have to have stout matzah and regular matzah.
But
the Dovo system is not a problem of Haroma, it's a problem of Nemanis, whether it's good. This system is certainly good. The question is how lechatchila it is. The question you can ask is this lechatchila. But the food that you're eating is certainly good, at least b'di'eved, the food you're eating is good. And this is the system, the way it was made. So that's why I'm talking about it in Sivchas, right? So, what? I don't know. The old Nusach said 1 gram. It's interesting. It said this is an updated Nusach. A number of enhancements in the system. I don't know if the enhancement was to go from a gram to a fifth of a gram.
2,500 times.
The point is the box should last forever. Until the next time. The Mashgiach visits the plant once every 3 months. They want to make sure there's enough matzah there for 3 months. So that he can do it. That's the basic... There are those who look askance at this. What? If it's owned by... I want to talk about that. If it's owned by a guy, there's no din challah, period. Okay, let me explain a few things. Okay, number one, how do you determine Jewish ownership of a plant? How do you determine if something is owned by Jews? Generally speaking, let's say Hilchus Shabbos, Hilchus Ribbis, Hilchus Chomei Shavuot Lava Pesach, Ramesha says, if it's Rive Jews, it's a Jewish plant. If it's Rive non-Jews, but the controlling interest is Jewish, then it's also... Now you're going to ask me, if it's a minority, how can it be a controlling interest? The answer is that if you have a company that's publicly traded, so nobody owns more than 0.1% of it, but the original owners, when it went public, they control, let's say, 30%. They are going to control what takes place. Because the 70% is owned, 69% of the people really don't care what they do. As long as they have a good bottom line, nobody really cares. So, okay, whichever company it may be. But the point is, either Rive Jews, or the Jews control it. The people who run the plant are typically a family or the conglomerate of people that started it, and they control it, then it's Jewish owned. And that's true in general. When it comes to Hilchus Challah, it's not so pashut. We're going to have to get to it later. There are poskim halacha lemaisa that hold that if Jews own enough of a percentage that in the dough that's made, a Jew owns the shir challah, let's say it's a 100-pound dough, and let's say shir challah is 5 pounds, so if 5% owned by Jews, that creates already a chi of challah on the dough. Why, when, we'll get to it. But that's what they hold. Now, Ramesha writes that owning stocks is not really a 5% owner because you don't in any practical way own anything. A stock market, I mentioned to you once, is like a very big gambling machine where you gamble, but instead of based on the spinning wheel, you gamble based on not even the success of the company, because even successful companies go down if the market mood, you know, suddenly one day the market goes down. So one day Pepsi went bad, and Coke went bad, and McDonald's went bad, and the rubber companies went bad. It doesn't make sense. It's like it's you don't really own. But if a Jew owns a piece of the company, really owns a piece of the company, it's mechayiv and challah, and that's where you can have companies all over the world. The Jews tend to be disproportionately represented in business. And this is what we're talking about. That's the issue. Now that's issue number one. If the passive ownership is mandated by the deal, that's a distinction. That's a stock owner. But if you're a partner has a right to sue and get copies of all the of whatever takes place. You can't make decisions. Okay, so there is a distinction made here as well. Now, percentage of company owned by Jews. Percentage of ownership, yeah. Okay, now I want to leave that topic. Well, we're talking, though, you here is talking given the tzchayiv and challah and the system. Now, after the system was put in place, or maybe as it was put in place, there was a realization that there's going to be a problem. Problem is that sometimes you have wheat flour from 1 year and wheat from another year, and what's the problem? If we say mixed flour doesn't matter, what's the problem? The answer is, if the flour in the machine is the New Year's flour, and the matzah which is in there, which is made from winter wheat, is from last year's, so you can't be mafrish from that box on the dough. So this was a kink in the system that was discovered at some point. The system began in the 1990s, I think in 94. And at some point early on, they realized that there's a problem with the system. At that point, I'm told, Rav Belsky wrote a tshuva to say the following chiddush. He wrote to say, there are two dinim. There's one din that an old year and new year are not mitzarif to shir challah. Okay, now that's not true by... That's only true by Hilchis Chala. Hilchis Truma, every fruit that grows, or every wheat that grows, is Chayiv and Truma right away. There's no Shear. But in Issa, there's a din that has to be Mitzarev. It's Chayiv when it becomes Issa, and has to be Mitzarev then. So we say Old Year and New Year are not Mitzarev. There's a second din, the din of separating from 1 year on the next year. So we're saying both dinim are true. It's not Mitzarev. If you have 2 pounds from 1 year, 2 pounds from another, it's not mitzarev to bechayv and chala, which is a kula. I'm saying a chumra, you can't separate for 1 year on the other. But look at the mechaber in Sifches, he only says the first din. He doesn't say you can't separate from 1 year on the next. Maybe you could separate from 1 year on the next. Rabelsky argued, the way it was repeated to me, I haven't seen the written version of it, that chala only becomes bechayv and chala mishas isa, it doesn't grow chayiv like wheat. And he argued, the way it was said to me, is that it's not so posh that you can't separate for 1 year on the other. Now that by itself, nice diuk in the mechaber, it's not like the shakantas. Shakantas say beferish, you can't separate for 1 year onto another. So, I don't understand fully, but what I'm told is that Belsky argued that that's a chalas Eretz Yisrael, and not a chalas Chutz Laretz. There's a taisis in Bechairis. Taisis asks, why do you do Shemitah? You ever think about it? The Shemitah year, you flour from Shemitah, and you make a dough, you bake a challah, you separate challah, so once upon a time, you gave it to the Kayin ate it. What are you going to do today with the challah? You're not allowed to destroy Shemitah produce, right? You have to, even the peels you have to save. So when you separate challah, how are you allowed to burn it? How are you allowed to destroy it? What do you do with the challah? What do you do with the challah? Taisus kasha. So you have an eitz, taisus teretz. Taisus teretz is, and the lashon of taisus is that you, so I didn't bring the lashon, is that you separate from isa she'ena shel shmita on isa shehu shel shmita. That's taisus teretz. So Belsky says, you see, you could separate from isa of 1 year on isa of another year. So maybe it's Chalab is Manazed Rabbanan, and that's why you could do it. That's the way it was told to me. The problem is that we're not the first ones asking the Kasha on Taisus. In the back of Bechairis, there's a Marit Al Ghazi, main Mefairish in the back of the Gemara. He asked the Kasha. He asked on Taisus, how can you separate for 1 year and another? He says Taisus means you get wheat from Chutz Laretz, Chalash Sheina Shal Shmita. From the same year, b'chalas chutz la'aretz on chalas eretz Yisrael, and it doesn't mean 2 different years, so the raya falls away. So this was a sichsuch. Now I have to tell you, though you does not rely on this kula, maybe it was written b'di'evet, for it was already on the market before they realized the problem, but the OU does is from June till November, they have 2 boxes of matzah, one from 1 year, one from another year, and the nusach from June to November is longer to say a fifth of a gram. If it's from this year, it's from that box. If it's from that year, it's from that box. And Shalom al Yisrael, and that's how they do. What? But remember, we said mixed flour. We got anyway, Basarai. So therefore, you're okay. So this is the practice that they do. I have here the nusach of a different heksher. This heksher says a gram. It's interesting. This heksher has slightly different nusach. They say it should be chal 30 minutes after any dough is kneaded at the establishment. A gram of the tevel dough located next to the previous dough should be designated. They say 30 minutes later. Why 30 minutes later?
It's time to rise.
Because sometimes there's a mashgiach in the plant. If he's there, he's going to separate challah himself. But if they already remote control separated challah, then his challah is not a challah. So in order, that's what they explain here, that in order to leave room, that if he's there, he should separate. So then they do it. But here, what about the bracha as far as... So it's very interesting. If you look in the copy... that I gave you in 5, says if it is certain that at least one of the Jewish owned companies is not taking challah, a bracha should be recited before saying this nusach. Imagine you're in your office in New York, you separate challah in Arkansas, and you're saying with a bracha, make a bracha and separate. What? I guess every day, yeah.
It should be challah later.
Okay, I can't answer all the kashas on this. But anyway, this is the system. The truth is, the system the system works. The downside of the system is the question of whether this is min hamukif, which is not makif mechutz laaretz. If it's made, taken from that dough, it's really supposed to be from the same dough, preferably connected to it. That's why the box has to be open. The box is open in the same room, that considering that in assignment that's called min hamukif mechutz laaretz. Anyway, this is the kula, the OU, our first challah system, they don't consider a kula, they say it's the chatchila. Certainly it's kosher, la'achar ma'isa.
What does it say? It should be touching the mixing machine. It's in the box. The box is not touching the mixing.
So we're going to have later that
Kalim.
Okay, we're going to have later by Tziruf that if two Kalim touch, that's also good. If you have a dough in one Kalim, you dough in another Kalim, and you touch the Kalim, that's adequate.
What is the advantage of this?
Now,
why
they don't use this? There are those who look at this as a strange remote control collar system. It certainly seems strange at first glance. So they hold their way as bad. Everyone holds his way. Yeah, I want to point out that Rav Palm did is not so outrageous to separate chal every time you open a box. But I'm not a fact fake. These are three systems that exist. I really don't have tightness on anybody that does any of the systems, because the systems, they work. They're certainly, when you get the product, it's kosher. Challah is mufresh. And it works. I have to tell you, there's no such thing as only Durabanan. All Yiddishkeit is Durabanan. 99% of what you do is Durabanan. You daven every day? I mean, I tell you, don't say the whole davening. You know, it's...
Can I be
used
to
tiny
drive
it
if I take
off
that
piece? I'm sure you can.
Okay.
The
closed circuit will be different because I'll be.
Oh, so I want to say that closed circuit will be different. The closed circuit TVs, most businesses today have it. Kilo is in the process of requiring any of our stores that manufactures. There's some stores that just get products and repackage it, but any store that manufactures has to have closed circuit TV, which is accessible at the Kilo office. So with closed circuit, you can allow the Doble system, because there's a Mirtis. You can allow the system where the Goyim have to separate a bowl of dough and put it aside, so you can catch them. You catch them not doing it, then there's a Mirtis, and then and then it's going to work. No, you can catch, watch them make it.
They didn't take away the whole bunch.
So that, I guess, is going to have the potential
to
change it. We have no need to. We have no need to come out to coolers. We can do it the old fashioned, like your Babas and Zaydas did. They separate. Now, I want to add a bit of editorial comment, if I may. I mentioned in Shul many, many times that the difference between Yiddishkeit and Eretz Yisrael, Yiddishkeit and Chutz La'aretz, is that in Eretz Yisrael they try to do everything lechatchila lechatchila. B'diavad is not, you don't do things b'diavad. In America, if it's kosher b'diavad, it's kosher. We rely, that's the difference in mentality to Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Like I tell people in New York, in Brooklyn, there might be a kosher Erev and some people carry. In Yerushalayim, there are four Erevin. And some people, not many people carry, so maybe, oh, maybe they're okay. It's just a different mentality. So I looked how the Hechsherim in Eretz Yisrael deal with it. So I found only one tshuva, looking in the evening. So Sternbruch has a tshuva. On the first method, when you have a mashgiach in the plant, and he's separating challah, he says, l'chari, you have a problem. If the owner isn't from, the Gemara says, by Shlichus, ma'atem b'nei bris, avshluchachem b'nei bris. That a guy can't make a shliach. A guy is not b'nei bris. Now, we're not talking about guy, we're talking about yid. The sheet of the Magen Avraham is, it does say ma'atem b'nei Yisrael, avshluchachem b'nei Yisrael, ma'atem b'nei bris. That only a from a yid can make a shliach. A ma'amin, he doesn't have to be a tzaddik. And the first ma'amin b'Hashem can make a shliach. But a friar yid can't make a shliach. So he says, forget about remote control, forget about double systems. He says, even in the best system, we have mashgiach there all the time, if the owner is not a frum yid, how can he make a shliach to separate challah? Ah, you'll say, zachin la'adam. I mentioned to you in the past, there's a tshuva in the Trumas Hadeshen. Says, if you come upon a lady's dough, she made her dough, she's letting it rise. She went shopping. And you come upon it, and you see it's going to turn sour. You got to bake it. So you want to do her a favor and put it in the oven. Are you allowed to separate challah without her knowing? So the Trumas Hadeshen and the Ramog, and Adurma later, says, Zachin Ladum Shalai Bafanav, it's a schus. To separate challah, Zachin Ladum Shalai Bafanav, and you can separate. Ksaisa Chayshin says, no. Zachin Le'adam, V'loi Zachin Me'adam. He says, Zachi is only when you give someone something. Not Zachin Me'adam. He is taking away dough belongs to them and you're giving it to a Kayin. Alright, one second. The Ktsais argues on Trumas Hadeshen. Zachin La'adam v'loi Zachin Me'adam. To me, the Ktsais is a Das Yachid against the Ramah. It's one of those Ktsaisin where he writes Eini Kedai and Afopi Kain, he argues. And I had this year, last week in Yeshiva, I learned the Ktsais with the guys in Yeshiva. The Ktsais brings five Gedalei Achrayim will pass in a certain way. Gedalei from the early Achrayim brings in Alshech and Chumash HaRajba and a Marit and a Ramshach. He brings five. He says, Yadeh Ani Sha'ofra Ani Tachas Kavir Adleyem Avopi Kain. I got to tell you the truth. They're all wrong and I'm right. This is that type of Ketzais. So Ketzais argues with the Ramah. Shach and Taz and Gerah don't. So Sternbruch writes, it's Taka true, Al-Tzichia, it works. But we don't want to be go. You're going to want to eat bread that's not good like the Ktsais? Who wants to eat bread that's not kosher like Ktsais HaChayshin? So what are we going to do? So he's Befak Fakes. At the end, he says we could be Saimach on, first of all, Yad Payel Ki Yad Rabbi. I once mentioned to you that the Gemara says a worker's hand is like the worker or the hand of his master. Yad Payel Ki Yad Rabbi. And even when the Mech Nefraim says, even when Shlichus doesn't work, Yad Payel works. Plus, at Siruf, by Pinyin Abed, we had this long Nekudah Sakasav, he said, how can you be Zaycha for a cotton to make him into a Jew? He says, Bezdin has the Kayach. Bezdin has the power to, Bezdin has the power to be Zaycha even Me'odim. So he's Mitzarif, and the Shach, with this, he's Mekel. So Memele is Mekel on the first system. To me, it's just like mind-boggling that, you know, here we're finding Eitzes. The Eitzes are not good. It might be B'dievet. I'm in Amokif. It is in Amokif. I'm in Amokif. Certainly, I'm Alismach. Now, it's Yisrael, on the first Seder, they're also Hepik Pukin, you know, if it works. So, I don't know. That's just, I guess, an editorial comment on the topic. And that's Sif Ches. Again, Ches is easy. It's Yashan Al Chadash, Chadash Al Yashan. In your flour mixture, we have the Nesivas to rely on. On otherwise now. Let me tell you what Siftes is. What?
Mashkiach, a tiny part owner.
Mashkiach, a tiny part. have to think about it. I'm not willing.
You run into other problems.
Okay, we're going to learn Siftes, the issue of other ingredients. Okay, I guess it's... all right, we'll do Siftes next week. I guess we'll come back.
Good.